Last but not least, and the last to take us into our lunch session, are the deeper dive that was discussed related to 2038, and Charlie and John are going to take us through that. They are both with Denton, Navarro, Rodriguez, Bernal, Santi, and Zek. John is a planner with almost 30 years of experience and has served as an adjunct facility at Texas State University teaching land use and planning. Charlie is a shareholder and has 24 years of legal experience in land use and economic development representing local governments, and he is heavily involved in the Texas City Attorneys Association, TML, and EMBLA. I'll turn it over to them.
How's everybody doing?
Good, good.
No, Kenny Rogers is still dead. He's not standing up in front of you. But I do like to thank John Johnson, who was up here earlier, who is obviously still alive. Thank you, Brad Bullock. I'm in a very unique position of having to deal with this because I'm city attorney for about 55 cities in the state of Texas, 55 or 60. The name of this is Deep Dive into Utility and Other Resources and Planning. It's a little bit deceptive because I'm going to go through the first part of our presentation is going to be my personal opinion on the nuts and bolts on how we handle and deal with these petitions for release from ETJ. And I'm also in a really unique position, I think, because one of the things that wasn't mentioned earlier is that these 212-172 agreements are not always development agreements that had been entered into between developers and cities, right? They are what? Come on, city folks, what are they? They are non-annexation agreements. They are agreements that were entered into because the statute under Chapter 43 requires a city to at least offer a Chapter 212-172 agreement to a property owner who would like to not be annexed. And the reason why I am uniquely qualified to address that issue, and I think many of you who have known me for a while know this, the fact that cities have to do that is entirely and completely my fault. I got into an argument with a then, at that point in time, conservative Republican by the name of Carter Castile, who was a legislator, and this was in 2002, 2003, something like that, and this was after I'd already gotten a big fight with someone who didn't want to be annexed under the then new annexation statute, right, back in 2001. I am getting way too old. I can't seem to stop that. And she wanted to enter into 212-172 agreement rather than have her client's family farms annexed. She was a lawyer, very good lawyer. Carter Castile is a fine person and a very good lawyer. And I said my client didn't want to do that. At the time, I was in-house city attorney for the city of New Braunfels, my hometown where I grew up, lived there since 1972. Not that that matters, I suppose, although it's a really cool place to live. And I said my client didn't want to do that, so doing what legislatures do, she changed the law to require us to offer those 212-172 agreements. And so what we're seeing now, at least I'm seeing, and we'll dig into the law here in a second, what I'm seeing is not developer agreements where developers have come to the city and requested to negotiate Chapter 212-172 agreements that dictates terms of annexation and how the property would be developed and use and everything that goes with that. Is I'm seeing developers now buying those family farms that at the time they said would never be sold because it's a family heirloom and there's no way my kids are going to sell this property because they grew up here and it's been in the family for 100 years until someone offers them $2.5 million for it. Of course, I didn't say that, but I knew that. And so that's happening, right? As those properties are being, those family properties are being purchased where they were previously under 212-172 non-annexation agreements. And I'm seeing more of those. And I'll get more into the details on the legal issue, my opinions on the legal issues of that after I just briefly hit, you know, the law. The law, what by the law I mean the statute. So let me ask a question so I know who I'm talking here to. How many of y'all are employees of or work with on behalf of cities.